KSL at night.
And welcome back to KSL at Night. You're here with me, Leah Murray, alongside my good friend Greg Skordis, as we're talking about the most interesting things that are happening. So, Greg, we have been chatting about the former president and his trial. I wanted to ask you a question about that. So Donald Trump can't be at the Supreme Court for that case that we just talked about in the last segment because he's in New York City. And he kind of complained today, like he was like, I would be there, but I have to be here for this. But real quick, he wouldn't actually be there. There are no witnesses in a case before the Supreme Court, right? So it wouldn't be the case that his attorney would be wandering into the Supreme Court building with Donald Trump.
No, but he would be there as a spectator, just like everyone else. I mean, you can attend court. It's open to the public. So I think what he was saying was I would be there to cheer on my people and to make comment after it's over, to just have my face there.
Gotcha,
no, he's not a witness.
Yeah.
He's a party to the case, but the Supreme Court doesn't hear a testimony or evidence at all.
Yeah. Could you even imagine ever in history a president being at the Supreme Court while they are listening to a case? Like, I can't name another president who did that.
Probably not. I can't think of one
either. So that would be totally out of the norm.
Right.
So let's just kind of sit there for just a second about what you said, that Trump is an anomaly. So when I just said he's out of the norm, he is. He's an anomaly. When we are thinking about these cases, let's listen to Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson and what she's worried about.
Let me put this worry on the table. If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office?
Right. So she's doing the flip of what I said. Right. So earlier I was saying if we don't have immunity, the worry is for every president, every decision they're making. It's kind of like if the other party didn't impeach me, when the other party gets into the presidency, then they will prosecute. She's got the flip argument basically is if we take immunity off the leave immunity on the table, right? Then it is the case that that presidents might just commit crimes all over the place because they're not even worried about what is criminal.
But I think that's, I mean, come on. Presidents will just commit crimes, what does she say, with abandon while they're in office? I mean, that's as ridiculous as the arguments that have been made on the other side that, well, presidents can't do anything. They're hamstrung the whole time they're in office and while they're in office. And she say, well, they could just commit crimes all day. We elect these people because they have some level of morality, some level of ethics, and there is oversight, there's impeachment, there's re-election, there's your history. How are you going to be perceived? I mean, I think there are a lot of reasons why an elected official, especially the president of the United States, has all kinds of reasons not to commit crime while in office.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think you leaned hardcore into democracy
there.
Right?
I know.
This idea that voters are always going to be discerning of who the best candidates should be, or that even voters get to see the best candidates, right? So I think right now we have 2020 rematch. 75% of voters don't want either of these candidates to win. So I'm not persuaded by what you just said. I think you're not wrong that maybe that's making the straw man, right, on the other side. I think that's fair. But let's talk a little bit about crimes that presidents might commit, right? So when we think about former President Trump, he is on trial today in Manhattan. So let me ask you, as our legal analyst at KSL, where are we? Like you always tell me, the day of the week of the trial. Like, so what day are we? What week are we? Where are we at in this trial in Manhattan?
Yeah, so the jury was selected last week. We finally got to a witness on Friday. So today's Thursday. So we're on week two, essentially, day four. And the state is still putting on its case. This is the state of New York. This is not a federal case like the one we've been talking about involving presidential immunity. This is the state case brought in Manhattan against Donald Trump for crimes related to the hush money payments and whether or not those were misleading, whether the way he articulated those in his books and records was a fraud on the election to avoid embarrassment during the election.
By the way, we're talking about the 2016 election.
Correct.
So he wasn't president yet.
Right.
So if the Supreme Court, even if they ruled have absolute immunity, it wouldn't apply to this hush money case because he wasn't president yet.
Great point. That's a great point. Yes.
So the answer would be, but had he been president when he paid the hush money,
maybe.
That's what Ketanji Brown Jackson's worried about, right? That you might start doing that.
Okay. Oh, that's a great point. Yes, he doesn't even raise the immunity issue in the New York case. He's saying, you know, I didn't have immunity. I was Trump the citizen. I was Trump the political candidate, and I was trying to keep this embarrassing information out of the public light. And so the issue is, whether his attorney Cohen or the then leader of the National Enquirer, this, I think his name is David Pecker, conspired with Trump to do this. What's it? Catch and kill. You buy a story, but then you don't allow it to become public because you purchase the rights to the story for, in this case, for, I think they paid allegedly Stormy Daniels $130,000, and but didn't really give us a very clear understanding of where that money came from and how it was paid, because Cohen, his attorney, who he's just slammed the guy because he is a convicted liar. Let's face it, the government doesn't like witnesses who are convicted liars, but you got to take the medicine you're given, is going to say that he was sending Trump bills ostensibly as attorney's fees when they really weren't. He was just funneling through the Stormy Daniels people to hush her up.
Right. So I want to circle back a little bit, and sure, then we'll kind of get into what you were just going there. You were saying they chose a jury last week. One of the things that I thought was interesting, and we talked about this last week, Greg, was that they asked the jurors what their opinions were of Trump. And you thought that was, how did you say? Like, we don't usually do that, right? So right, you're not usually asking, but maybe it's because it's Trump, because he's famous. But another question that came out in the last week that I hadn't heard when we talked about this last night, and I wanted to get your thought on it, was jurors were asked about where they got their news. So what I thought was interesting, there is a chart, right, that you can find in any news source that tells you of these jurors and alternates where they get their information, right? And that ranges from the BBC to Fox News. I'm going to tell you what, most of them get it from the New York Times, which, by the way, makes sense to me because they live in New York City, right? So like a little bit, that's like their Salt Lake Trib. Does that make sense? Like it is a national paper for us, but it is a local paper for them. What do you think about that? Is that weird that they would be asking them where they get their news? And what on earth would a criminal defense attorney care about that for?
I've done 200 jury trials. I would say in 198 of those, the jurors were asked what is their source of information. In fact, I can't think of one where we didn't.
This is totally normal.
This is absolutely normal. And you look at it. Well, I read the Deseret News. I read the Tribune. I get my information from Fox News. I mean, you can tell a little bit about it. I mean, I had a jury once where the guy's got his source of information from Soldier of Fortune magazine. You know what I mean? You're like, that person may have a different angle. You know, the NRA Journal and church magazines, you know, religious magazines, things like that. They tell you a little bit about a person, just sort of where they're leaning. And by the way, I will say this, the majority of people will say, and I'm not just plugging us, KSL. I get my information from KSL. I mean, they say that all the time.
All right. Given what you just said, it happens all the time. So clearly you're an expert at using media sources to discern, in your crystal ball, what that person's talking about. If a juror says, I get all of my information from Truth Social and X.
You're going to worry a little bit. You're going to worry because I don't know. But that's just my age showing, because maybe we were. It's the same, I guess, as if somebody said, I get most of my news from National Enquirer and People. And, you know, like, so are you really getting an accurate, because to me, I think of the local media in Utah as being pretty fair and accurate.
So if they say KSL, you're like, we're good.
Yeah. I mean, or even some of the competitors, you really think that way. But it is interesting to note what people are saying, how they're answering those questions. And some people will say, I mean, it's obviously changed in the 42 years I practiced, because people weren't getting their information on Facebook when I started practicing law, but a lot of people get their news from Facebook or things like that. You're kind of like, well, you know, that's tainted, but what does that mean? So you know what I mean? You still have to look at it as an attorney where you're striking the juror. Well, so they get their information from a certain source, X, Facebook. I don't know. Does that make them more or less likely to side with a certain side?
Yeah. So we've got like, you know, half a minute left, Greg. So make this one tight. How does it matter the way that Trump is behaving? So there is a gag order violation ruling that is also, we're waiting for that answer to come down. What does it mean for, if he were your client, would you be telling him to be quiet?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you hope that the jury is following the admonition of the court and not paying attention to outside sources. So they're looking at this case in a vacuum. They're looking at what's before them. They don't know what's going on, the shenanigans by anybody before and after court while we're waiting for the day of trial to begin.
All right. Next up on KSL at Night, listeners, I want to stay in New York's courts because another high profile, convicted felon,
came right out of the blue,
and we're going to talk about it.